Started. Hello, welcome back. It's been a while since we recorded. I know we've been posting every week, but we had a little vacation out there. We're back with episode 55. Still can't believe that we have, you know, people still listening after 54 episodes. We're pretty excited about that. We have a really cool guest this week. We'll do introductions in a second, but I look forward to learning a lot this week, maybe about some poop and some graphic things that I'm sure he endures. But as always, we'll do some introductions. I am Jeff from Keg Grove.
I'm Tyler from Keg Grove.
And I'm Ken Rob from Rob Jersey Cheese.
Yeah, so we're super, super excited because let's be honest, in this town, you don't go anywhere without eating some Rob Jersey Cheese.
Need to find it, man. And we are, just to clarify, we're going to talk about cow manure.
Yeah.
Not human manure.
Well, I mean,
it's too early in the day. Come on, man.
I mean, we could get into some details, but okay, that's fair. That's fair, Ken. That's fair.
Cool,
all right.
Cool.
So my first question, and I've been out to your farm before with family. My son, when he was little, used to love looking at your cows and stuff. What is the difference between your cows and like a traditional cow? Because they're Jersey cows, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the breed that we have is Jerseys. What people are most familiar with is the Holsteins, the big black and white cows.
Yes.
And by number, they outpace everything out there that's on in the world.
Okay.
But Farside, the cartoon strip, took the Holstein cow to a whole nother level too. But the number one breed in growth has been the Jersey cow because they're heavier in their butterfat and protein.
Okay.
Than your traditional Holstein that is much more volume-based. The thing that drove that market for us is we're all three of us are consumers, everybody else out there listening, we're not drinking as much milk. But what we're doing is we're eating cheese, we're eating pizza.
Right,
things
right,
like
yeah.
That is what's driving that market. So there was a
cheese
shift.
Cheese is like the most important food group in my life.
It's
aside
really,
from meat, which this kind of goes together, but yes.
In moderation.
What is that word? Moderation?
Yes. Yeah. We can't use that word anymore.
Today. No. That's a bad word, Ken. Bad word.
Should be your word of the day, like every
it
day.
Should, right?
Moderation.
Yeah. Moderation. That doesn't work with beer. That doesn't nope. work with cheese.
Put it on the dartboard.
Yeah. But go ahead. I interrupted you there.
No, it's and it's a popular question because people are more familiar with the big black and white cows.
Yeah.
But the Jersey cow looks a lot more like a deer. It's a smaller
yes.
framed animal.
Yeah.
And it's just like humans. The Jersey cow is a lot more. The word would be jumpy.
Okay.
Curious as compared to your bigger, slower animals. And so you get one cow that's interested in you, and all of a sudden you got the whole herd surrounding you out in the pasture wanting to know what exactly in the heck is going on.
Right.
And it's the same way with the baby calves. You're out there at the hutches, and you're petting a baby calf, and the other ones are all wanting the attention.
I want some too, kind of like a dog.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, boy, you're scratching that dog, but why not me? You
yep, know? That's yeah. exactly right. No, and it's a breed. There's two islands off the coast back over in Europe. So you've got the Isle of Jersey and the Isle of Guernsey. And that's
okay.
where those two breeds originated.
All right. Well, that's interesting.
And the Holstein's a French cow.
Okay. Didn't
Holstein,
know that.
Holstein Friesian.
Okay.
And so, yep. And that's, we've got seven breeds. Some people will milk some crossbreds. So there's not just the usual traditional heritage breeds.
Yeah.
You got a whole lot of stuff going out there in the dairy industry.
Interesting. So what's like the milking lifespan of a cow? Like, you know, how long do they milk for? And, you know, I have no idea about any of this.
So perfect world, in by far, even in the cow world, it's not perfect. You'll have an animal calve right at 24 months of age. So when she's 2 years old, she'll have her first baby.
Okay.
And it's almost exactly like humans in the fact that her gestation is about 286 days. So she's going to milk for 305 days. She's going to have a dry period of 60. In a perfect world, she has that baby on the 60th day, repeat.
Okay.
So it's almost exactly the same thing that we talk about when it comes to humans.
Okay. Interesting. That's interesting. And then how many years can they keep doing that for?
Lifespan. You're, on our end, because it is a registered animal, and when I say that, people say, what do you mean by that? Well, it's like having an AKC puppy. Okay. You can have pedigree on it. You can trace lineage, everything like that. Same thing with the dairy. So our average lifespan, like we've got some cows in our barn that are over 10 years old.
Okay.
The U.S. average is less than 4 years old.
Okay.
And that's just how much is put on, how much pressure is put on that animal to produce.
Yeah.
You know, and so we don't talk a whole lot about, hey, how many pounds per day per cow or what's her lactation, because you keep track of all those numbers.
Yeah.
We may not be as high as the guy next door, although there's not really anybody left next door anymore in McLean County.
Right.
But we've got great longevity out of our animals.
Okay.
And we can keep that heritage around for a long time.
Sweet. So then you guys like have a bull on site or, I got to ask, you know what I mean? You're making babies there, Ken.
So, great question. We have one bull on the farm.
Okay.
And he smiles all the time. The only time that the females are bred naturally is with their first baby.
Okay.
And from there, we do everything artificial.
Okay.
And
sounds sloppy.
It can be. I don't think I want to go down that road
Probably not, but
we all haven't had enough.
I understand.
The thing for us, the genetics in that are far superior if you can pick and choose
what the
semen jockeys are carrying.
Yes.
And the thing that the dairy industry was way ahead on is we've had sex semen for a long time.
Okay.
It's good and bad. You want to have females.
Okay.
Because you can always pick a bull out of a semen can.
Right.
So what has happened is we've overproduced females.
Okay.
And what's that do? It's supply demand.
Yes.
It brings those numbers back down when you get too much milk. And so we as an industry need to kind of keep guard on that too, because we can really hurt ourselves with some really neat genetics.
Yeah,
it can still come back and bite you.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, it's like when they say like the God power kind of thing. Like, you know, when you have that control and you implement that control over nature, there's pros and cons.
Yep.
You know, you can get the pros, but then you have to almost pay the price and reevaluate. And
that's exactly right. And it goes back. We were having a little earlier discussion too about Keg Grove is very similar to Rop Cheese in the fact that not only are we making the cheese, we're packaging the cheese, we're distributing the cheese.
Yeah.
How much is enough?
Right, yeah.
Because, you know, you got to have that decompression time because all we do is eat, sleep, and drink cows.
We eat, sleep, and drink beer.
Yeah, exactly.
A little different, but
you know, and it's something that we do have to kind of keep a handle on, but it's a control thing. Does it help financially? You bet.
Right.
But then again, what kind of life do we have outside of the work?
Right.
Sometimes we don't have much.
Yeah, you know, but I can say for Tyler and I, this is a second career for us. Mm-hmm. And we've made that change. And I work way more now than I have at any other point in my life, hours-wise and thinking-wise. And you're never off. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy.
Yep.
I love what I do. You know what I mean? I love seeing the people. I love seeing something that, you know, we work hard to create out there and people are enjoying it. It's like, it's not about me. So it's an interesting thing, right? Like, so they always say you gotta love what you do. That is important.
Well, I mean, come in here, or if we're working on Saturdays or Sundays or whatever,
you know,
any other job that I've had, they better be paying me a lot of money to be there on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Right. Like, we're recording on a Saturday. And I mean, we do this all the time. I mean, I'll be here for most of this Saturday.
Yeah.
And tomorrow we come in again. And that's rare. We do try to take Sundays as our pause and think about it day.
Well, and it being independent like we are, it also allows us to think outside that box.
Yes.
And that's another neat part of what we can do. We're not contained.
Nope.
Yeah.
You know, when we say enough's enough, we say it.
Yes.
Sometimes we say it a little too late.
Yes.
But that's all part of life, too.
Well, it's just like seasonality. I mean, in the winter, we have way more personal time, I'll say. We're heading into a season where, like Todd and I were just talking the other day, every weekend's filling up. We're going to be busy. It's just, there's not going to be a time to think anymore. We just do. And
we're cyclical, just like the beer industry is, too. And we've seen great growth in the smaller bottlers, canneries coming in.
Yeah,
it's the same with Rop Cheese. We've been able to kind of grow as we want to grow. And at the same time, you know, we're not knocking on doors now. The neat part is people are coming at us and saying, hey, can I try that? You know, and I love working with chefs and stuff. I love going back in the back of the house and kicking rocks with those guys and gals and seeing how do they bread my curds? What kind of spices are they using? That kind of stuff.
Kind of lucky. Cheese curds fried are one of my favorite food groups. Just had some last night, but I'm just saying, you know,
if we could liquefy it and use an IV, we'd all be good.
Right. Just tap me with cheese curds on one and beer on the other, and we're going to be all right, buddy. Yes.
Laying down, holding up a hand.
Yes. But obviously, I believe that evil word comes out again, moderation. But,
quit using that. I thought we agreed once.
Once was enough. So that's interesting with the cows. So, what's your daily, like, because you're not only making cheese and distributing cheese and retailing cheese, but you're also a farmer.
Right.
So, your day has got to be crazy.
The days, and the hard part is there's a lot of times you just don't know what's coming at you.
Yeah.
You can plan for things all you want, and all it takes is one little wrench thrown into that, and it screws up a whole long list of things.
Right.
So people will ask, well, what does Ken Ropp do day to day? I'm up at 4:30 in the morning.
Holy jeez.
Well, yeah. It happens still to me. The hard part is I'll say, man, tomorrow I need some sleep, and I'm still down.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter. Once you get on that schedule, you're just that way.
I'm not on that schedule.
You're not on that schedule? Now, the flip side is by 8 o'clock at night, I'm on the pillow.
Okay.
You know, and so it's a whole different lifestyle.
And that's okay.
I totally get it. It's go down in the morning. I've got hired hand that does the milking. We've got another guy that usually comes in the morning milking.
Okay.
So I'm outside. I take care of all feeding of the cows.
Okay.
And then we get lined up with the skid steer and the manure spreader, and we start hauling manure and doing all that. I knew we were going to talk about it at some point. But we get that taken care of, and then it's scurry home by 7:30, 8 o'clock, get cleaned up, put on the clothes to start selling cheese.
All right, you know? So one of our first experiences with manure, we were dropping Tyler and I were dropping spent grain off at a big farm out in Leroy back when we first started. And we got there, and this operation was huge. And we were like, we saw somewhere, we're like, where do you want the grain? And he goes, well, head over there, find the shit spreader, and turn left.
Yeah, I'll meet you over there.
And we look at each other like, what's a shit spreader?
I'm wearing flip-flops, man. Like, do I look like I know what that equipment looks like?
We're like, I don't know where we're going. He's like laughing at us as we're like, totally clueless.
The big question is do I need to touch anything?
Right. And even as we're dumping the grain, and we're like being all careful not to get it all over us and stuff, and he just jumps in there and boom. It's like, okay, we're not maybe farmers.
No.
But yeah, that was always something. So what do your cows eat? I mean, so like, obviously you're making cheese, you want a certain product.
Sure.
So you probably don't just like, fill this, fill that, whatever, you know what I mean? I'm assuming it's a pretty strict diet.
It is a strict diet. We try and raise as much as we can to put in front of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we've got what I call a big cereal bowl that we pull behind the tractor that dispenses a feed off a belt, conveyor belt, that's called a TMR, total mixed ration wagon.
Okay.
And so what we'll do is we'll raise alfalfa. We've got about 50 acres of hay ground, and we'll put a bale in there. Now, this thing's pretty neat, and I'm not a mechanical guy by any means.
Yeah.
Between that and IT stuff, I could run the other way. This big
steel bowl has got one big screw coming straight up out of the bottom. You put a big round bale in there, and it grinds it all down to bite-sized pieces.
Okay.
Ah, cool.
And then you put your silage in there and your grain.
Yeah.
And spent grain. And we're on the topic. About every 2 weeks, we get a semi-load from Distill.
Okay, sweet, yeah.
And so we feed all their spent grain back off to the cows. You know, and it is that kind of story. When we talk about the full circle effect, it's the same way. Whether we're bringing that cheese into Keg Grove or if we're going into Distill, if we're getting that spent grain, it is a full circle effect because those curds are going back out to the restaurants, to the breweries.
100%, yeah.
You know, and it is. It's a neat feel-good story.
And I don't think a lot of people even understand that with the spent grain and stuff. You know, I mean, we love it. We have a small farmer. I mean, we're way smaller than Distill, you know, and it's just a great story to know that it's going to a local farm to produce local meats and, you know, local products, and it's cool.
And I think you guys are hooked up with the Moors. Is that,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
we are. Yeah.
They're right down the road from us. And
okay.
Yeah. And, you know, the hardest part about where we're at here in McLean County now, McLean County in particular, the state of Illinois has been long known as not a real friendly livestock state.
Okay.
But just through attrition and through the years.
Like they're not friendly about anything.
Well, and you'll find out more today. Keep that spreader backed up right here and we'll talk about it.
Right.
But the thing for us is there used to be, in 1970, for instance, and I know now it's a long time back, 50 years ago, there was over 300 dairies in McLean County.
Oh, wow.
Today there's 8. And so there's not a whole lot of area to find animals.
Yeah.
What we've done is we've taken the ground. We've got great soil here in McLean County.
Mm-hmm.
If we can cut down that tree, if we can pick out the fences and the hedgerows and that and put corn or beans on it, we've done it.
Yeah.
There's nothing in my mind business-wise that's wrong about that, except we got to have some balance in there somewhere.
I agree.
You know, and that's the hard part. We can overdo things.
It's the human way.
Wait, welcome to the office of redundancy department.
Right, you know,
it's just the way things work.
Yeah.
Well, that's like with us for grain. You know, like the big push is to get more wheat grown. You know, and like because everything's corn and soy.
Winter wheat crops and winter barley crops. Yeah.
Just because like everything else, the prices of everything are going up, and trying to figure out how to.
Well, and getting shipping from overseas. I mean, we were just at a conference where. I mean, the biggest thing was Ukraine is one of the biggest barley supporters or producers, and that's not going to be happening.
It's going to throw a wrench into a lot of things.
It is.
We haven't seen the full effect yet.
No.
And it's going to be hard for all of us.
And it's worse that it's even on the heels of COVID, which messed everything up. Oh, but, I mean, it's just...
It's terrible, you know, and I was telling you about the TMR wagon, the cereal bowl that we feed with. So I had the gearbox go out in that first week in November.
Okay.
I'm still feeding with the skid steer.
Really? So
they told me up front. They said, "Hey, we see the parts." I said, "Great." I said, "Get on it." You know, it's sitting over at Berkey's, and I get a call back an hour later after I told them to pull the trigger and get the parts up here, and they're like, "Yeah, we're looking at May." It's a long time for us to do things.
I mean, an operation needs that. I mean, you rely on that to make your product happen, and then.
No, it's like having little kids. You change the presentation of that feed to the kids.
Yes.
You know, if you make your mac and cheese green.
Right.
They're not eating it.
They're going to look at dad and say, uh-uh.
It's like
my child only eats chicken in nugget form.
It's like
exactly.
They making,
I want dinosaurs, Dad.
Right.
You know,
right.
I get it's it.
Like green ketchup. Okay. Yeah. When they switch to green ketchup, I would not touch that. Like, I don't care. It's why is it green? It looks green. You know, ketchup. Even if it tastes the exact same, I will not try it.
Yep.
No, that's a very good point. Yeah, I love how you also refer to them as your girls all the time.
Yeah.
I hear you. I've heard you say that a lot already today, even, and I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Your girls. Do you name them?
They are all named.
Sweet.
And so it makes it, there's a fence row in between that, good and bad.
Yes.
So when we're testing milk to keep track of numbers and stuff, we've got a guy that comes in and tests once a month. And to hear someone across the parlor say, "This is Jeannie, this is Jeanette, this is Jana." He sits there and shakes his head because he's just like, "Spell it." I'm like, "No, we're not spelling things." So people say, well, how do you keep track? Well, when you're out there daily, you know who's who.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just like anything else. But we also have a tattoo for the paperwork purposes in their left ear.
Okay.
That has a number given to them, and then that's traceable. Okay. And so we've got both a number code system and a naming system.
That's
now,
cool.
If we're out kicking rocks, it's all by name.
Yeah,
we know who we're talking about. So, yeah, they're girls.
Very cool.
How many are there?
Right now we're milking 61.
Holy
cow. We've got
about...
Literally.
Literally. Oh, my Lord.
That's a lot of moose.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And one bull, huh?
And one bull, and, you know, I don't know how he does it. He holds a cigar just fine. But, no, it's all together... With what we call replacements, are the females behind that haven't had babies yet.
Right.
We got about 120 total head on the farm.
Wow. And it's just amazing that you can even tell them apart. I get it, because you're with them every day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
And they all have different dispositions. You've got animals
sure, yeah.
that kind of rule the lot. It's kind of like the old playground days.
Yeah.
You know, other cows know not to mess with her. They see her coming. They go the other way. You know, that kind of thing. So there's a pecking order involved. The first cows out of the barn wanting to feed are usually the bull, you know, the bullies of the system at the top of the order.
Get out of Marla's way.
And she may not be the best producing cow milk-wise,
right?
But she's boss.
Yeah.
And you don't mess with her, you know. I had one animal, I remember this, when Leah, my daughter Leah, who's 19, going to be 20 here in April, when she was in 4-H, she'd be out in the pasture catching her show cows. And there was one cow that just knew who she was. And you normally don't get a reaction from a dairy cow like this. But Leah had to keep an eye out for her because this cow would come running.
Oh, really?
And chase her out of the pasture.
Really?
And my daughter got good at track. So she could high jump over things and do
yes.
not hitting the hot wire.
Yeah. Oh, the hot wire.
But there
How
was,
often do you hit the hot wire?
It used to be a lot more often.
I get it.
I feel like that's like an initiation thing for like new hires. Like, hey, grab that spool of wire and we're just going to hook it up. He's not going to know about it.
Hold on to this metal post, stick it in the ground.
Right.
And then with your other hand. But no, it's quite a system. You know, and the neat part about what we do that helps with the longevity is the cows go out on pasture. The only time that they're physically gated into the barn is 2 hours a day for milking.
Okay.
Morning and night.
That's excellent.
So they've got 22 hours to go out and be cows.
Yeah.
You know, and what I mean by longevity, it's not so much being gated into a barn. Concrete is really hard. It's hard on us when we're, doesn't matter if you're brewing, if you're making cheese.
Yeah, like
when you're wearing rubber boots or whatever, and by the end of the day.
The dogs are barking.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. Well, those cows are on, they're not wearing any shoes. And concrete's rough on them. And so we give them, it can be muddy, dirty, but they're much happier being out on natural grass and dirt.
Okay.
You know, it's just the way that we want to try and keep it.
Yeah.
All I think about is A League of Their Own when the scouts, they're talking to the two girls and they're milking the cows. He's like, doesn't that hurt? And they're like, they don't seem to mind. Proves the hell out of me.
There's
no crying in cheese making. No crying.
So I assume you guys have like more of an automated milking process.
Yeah, we do.
Not old school.
No, and we've made a lot of modifications there at home. First thing that I did, so I graduated from college in 93, came back home in 2000 to join mom and dad.
Okay.
And at the time, it was record all-time milk prices, high prices. Within 6 months, we were at record lows.
Mm.
And I said to Dad, I said, we got to start looking at some things a little bit different. This roller coaster effect is bad.
Yeah.
You know as well as I, you get into this thing where you've got the mindset of kind of taking into your own business. You also can kind of work your own pricing. And so that was a big part of what happened, how Rop Jersey Cheese was birthed.
Yeah.
Was to, hey, we got to take some control of things. But one of the first things I did was put in a new parlor. At the time, we had what would be a herringbone parlor. And so to give you a description on that, the cows come in, and they will learn to do this immediately, but they angle themselves.
Okay.
And we would milk from the side. not from the back.
Okay.
And there would be four cows on each side with one milk line down the center. So the hose, you got a picture, all right, we're going to milk the left side of the parlor with four milkers, let them out, bring up a new group while we're milking the right side of the parlor. Now we've got 14 units all going at once with seven cows on each side, and it's called a parabone parlor, and we milk from between the rear legs.
Okay.
Everything is computerized. Everything is retractable. It senses when that cow is done, and it retracts the milker off the cow and puts it back up in the air.
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
So really, all you've got to do is prep the cow, get her cleaned up, put the unit on, and then after she's done, you use some iodine post-dip. The teat canal stays open for about 2 minutes after they're done milking, and that's to prevent any kind of infection once they go back out.
Okay.
It's a barrier.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just crazy. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I've we see like documentaries on TV and stuff. I mean, that's about as familiar as I am. But I mean, between the genetics and the automatic, I mean, the milking and the technology, and it's just amazing. At the same point, as you said, you know, you've got a part you can't get for like 5 months or 6 months when you're down. That's also the negative side of technology, right? I mean,
exactly.
It's a pro. It's always a pro and a con.
It's great when everything's working.
It always is, yes. But when it doesn't work, nothing's good.
You know, I think you guys are probably built like I am, where you've got a list of 100 things going on. 99 of them are going correctly, but that one is the one that keeps you staring at the ceiling fan at night because you just can't get it right.
And then that one affects 50 of the others. And then,
it's a trickle-down. Yes. You bet. You know, and 100%. It's one of those things, too, at the same time that we've taken kind of control of our own business and manufacturing, distribution, all that, we don't have the deepest pockets in the world.
Right.
And so that's part of the small business structure as well,
yeah,
where we got to learn to adapt, you know, and at the same time, you have people that say, well, what are you exactly? Are you agriculture? Are you commercial?
Yeah.
Where do I fit?
You're all.
You imagine when we first started this, going and talking to the bankers.
Oh, yeah.
The bankers are like,
what are you?
Yeah. And what do we have to compare it to?
Yeah.
There's no one doing anything like this.
Everybody wants you to check one box.
Yeah.
But when you're like, no, we're three, four, whatever number of boxes, well, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think I used the wrong ink on that box the first 10 times.
I get you.
You know, and it's just one of those things that there is nothing to compare us to.
Yeah.
And you guys do things differently than the guy next door that's trying to do the brewing process as well, too.
Yeah, 100%.
You know,
yeah.
And it's that way for us. We've seen some people in the state of Illinois that are now bottling some milk. We've got some other cheesemakers around. But it's few and far between.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, and we had this conversation a little earlier, where you kind of got lines drawn in the sand of, we don't cross this area.
Right.
You know, if we do, we ask.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to ask ahead in this kind of thing than it is to
cause a feud, if you will.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And so the neat part about our business is we're in up to 240 locations.
That's fantastic.
And when I say that, and you guys understand this too, if everybody ordered at once, we'd have a major problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there's no way we could take care of that supply.
No, 100%.
And so the neat part about it is we try and talk our customers into, hey, put in a bigger order. I stand behind the product.
Yeah.
You know, if anything's going to go outdated, I make it right with you.
Yep.
Yeah.
But what that does is allow us to see our customers normally once every 3 weeks to 4 weeks. The restaurant side's a little different because you got to drop them fresh curds.
Yep.
I don't want to give you something that's going to be negative, not only for the restaurant, but for Rob Jersey Cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we've had to adapt and learn as we go.
That makes sense. So do you guys drink the milk?
Yes, we do.
I thought you were going to say that. And so that's not like the milk we would buy, correct?
It is. So this is another good topic, actually, because we've seen a lot of changes, and the change happened here a couple years back in the state of Illinois. We were able at one point, and we still could, but now you've got to be licensed to sell raw milk.
Of course.
Is what the label is.
Okay.
So literally it's right out of the cow, into the milk tank, and chilled.
Okay.
We can't bottle that product. Some states say you've got to have a label that says for pet food only.
Okay.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Well, what happened is anytime that you would sell any kind of raw milk on a day, you'd have to have samples run for that day.
Okay.
That was the, and it's not worth the time
no.
to go back and forth to Peoria to run samples.
Right.
On a daily basis.
No. Yeah.
Also at the same point, and it ended up being a good thing was, is our demand was picking up. I could curb those sales a little bit, you know, but there was a huge push, and we've seen it. I was raised on orange cheddar, you know, or orange cheese, Colby, whatever the case would be. So when we first started making cheese, I had a cooler full of orange, various orange cheeses. What I wasn't taking into effect was the East Coast presence in Bloomington Normal. A lot of that due to our insurance businesses.
Yeah.
Well, they want their... They're Vermont whites.
Yep.
And so 99% of what we do is a white now instead of orange.
And that's the natural color. Correct?
And that is straight out of the cow.
Because obviously cows don't do orange milk.
Well, that's what I was going to ask was how do you get the color?
Well, it's just like chocolate milk. Brown cows, right?
Well,
you need orange cows for orange cheese.
Yeah. It's just like at the water department, we had somebody ask us if we could turn the hot water up.
Yes, no problem.
Yeah, those hot water mains are finicky. Like, they don't, sometimes they just come out at, you know, 68 degrees. I can't get it to 94, sorry.
Yes.
If you lived 500 yards closer, it'd be a lot warmer.
Right? No kidding.
Yeah.
So I got to imagine, though, that fresh milk has got to be good.
Fresh milk is good. You know, what we do take care of, and we had a call last night, a guy up in Joliet, out of all places, calls and says, I've got some goats, and they lost their mom, the mama goat. The nanny died. And so need a supply of something that's similar. Well, with Jerseys having more fat and protein, goats are very high in fat and protein.
Okay.
It's a very rich milk. He called and he said, can I drive down and get some milk to feed the babies? And I said, yeah, by all means. So that's the kind of stuff that we still get calls on from time to time. We still have families that call us wanting bull calves.
Okay.
And like I was saying earlier about sex semen, we really don't have too many bull calves, except for those having their first babies, it's a 50-50 shot because they're bull bred. And so we've still got people, to give you an idea on value, a bull calf will sell, I'll sell it as soon as mama has a baby, and 48 hours later, that calf, $50. And then they'll take it, they'll raise it up for meat purposes for the family, whatever the case may be. At least I hope that's, because Jersey bulls are not friendly once they get to a certain age. All right, that's enough of that. But a heifer calf, the babies that you see in the hutches out front, you know, $500 to $800, you know. It's like buying a pup now. It can be some serious money.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's also, I mean, another business you're in, right? I mean, it just shows how much goes into a small business versus, you know.
There's a lot of thought process that goes on in the breeding program for animals. You know, another popular thing that happened 20 years ago in the dairy industry was because you're milking cows 8 days a week, you don't have that time off.
Right.
And so they started.
I said 8 days a week.
Yeah.
That's how we, I like that. Yeah.
That's how we function.
I saw you both glare at me like, what, Kenny?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, that eighth day is crucial.
Oh.
It is. It was not meant to rest.
God just keeps on giving, right?
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes some days. But, no, it's the hard part for us was the dairy industry started looking at synchronized breeding or synchronized calving, where you literally would have your 60 cows all calve the same week.
Okay.
That way, they would milk for 305 days, and at the end of that, you'd have a two-month period where you kind of regroup. The hard part was when you've got your plants and stuff throughout Illinois that are really geared towards bottling and school districts, all of a sudden you got your flush and it's during the summer months and there's no kids in school to drink the milk.
Right.
And so we found out the hard way that this just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so you got to really have a good system. So people will say, because most beef breeders will calve early in the winter.
Okay.
and then wean calves first part of spring. On the flip side, dairymen will breed to have a constant flow. Okay. And so they're like, are you calving right now? Well, we calve year round. Okay. Yeah. It's just hit and miss whether I've got a, if one of the girls is in the maternity barn ready to have a baby.
And so, maternity barn.
Oh, oh, yeah. We got it, baby.
So I guess there's some middle-of-the-night visits to the maternity barn?
There is. You know, the neat part about technology, and I, like I said before, I'm not ahead of it.
Right.
And that's the hard part. We've got guys now that are literally at home doing the same thing, Jeff, that you can have six different cameras in your barn watching cows calve, and you're watching it from home while you're warm.
Yeah.
And then if you see a problem, you go bolting for the barn.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet, and we don't have a whole lot of cows that would be calving at the same time anyway.
I got you.
And so the most for me that I've seen in that maternity barn, four cows at the same time, which can be crazy if everybody wants to break water at the same time.
That sounds sloppy.
No, it can be. Put on the knee highs and the shoulder gloves and get busy.
Shoulder gloves. Ken, you're killing me. I mean, I know there's other processes you have to use those gloves for, too.
There are some things we will not discuss today, but that's all right.
I used to be an avid watcher of Dirty Jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I've seen what you're putting down here, buddy.
My stomach is way too weak to ever have been on a farm. I can't do it.
Oh.
I've got a horrible stomach.
I
gag watching TV depending on the show.
Yeah, I have become softened. I think there was a time in my life where I could have been developed to be harder, but I've become softer and also have developed a nice gag reflex to poop and vomit and
I know it's bad when I start crying in a movie before my wife or daughter does.
Right.
That means.
Right. Yes.
Softens a more PC word. But
yes.
Everything in moderation, Jeff.
Everything in moderation. Yes. Okay. So. What? So now I guess the big question is, how do you make cheese?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know how you got to the the cheese curds, the flavors that you have, and the cheese spreads.
Yes.
Like, was that a long, drawn-out, like, we tried 50 different flavors, and these are the ones that we just are, like, those are the ones we're going to keep? Yep. Or do you do experimental ones and you try them out and see what they do? Or,
you know, and it's a great question because I think that you guys have gone through the same process here. When we first started, I had 80 different varieties of things. As our demand grew, you got kind of your heavy hitter list.
Yeah.
Where you got to focus concentration on them babies, because if you're ever out,
somebody's mad.
If you run out of holy genes,
we're in trouble.
You got a holy crap pile to deal with.
Yes, we do. Yes.
And it's the same way for us. If I don't have the spread, the original spread, or if I don't have the green onion cheddar out there on the shelf, I got people screaming.
Right.
And it never gets ugly. At least I don't let it get that far. But
no, I understand.
There's a point where you say, all right, we got to pare this down and put focus on 15 to 20 different types. Now, I've got the standard white cheddar curds that we may have 10 different flavors of.
Okay.
You know, whether it's a Cajun or the tomato basil garlic is our number one seller, or just standard white plain curd. It all depends on where that market's driving me. And we've been fortunate. We've had to learn, you know, it's just like anything else. We have our knocks. And everything is not guns and roses.
If I'm the judge, they're all good. Once again, they fall in the category of cheese.
Yeah.
And,
I get it.
Go ahead, Ty.
The tomato, basil, garlic, or the Cajun. Yeah. You take a little hot sauce in the bag. I shake the bag up, and that would be all I'd eat.
Yep.
It was just cheese all day.
There have been many times our lunches here were your cheese curds.
And now it's going to be a new spread.
Yeah, so that's something we should definitely talk about.
That is something that we will delve into. Just as a side note, 17 years ago I only had two chins. Now I've got nine of them to tuck in. No one is good at photoshopping.
I understand that, yes. So, today, the day of our recording, you brought in a wonderful product. We, shouldn't say we, you took the 1896 beer that we make for Bloomington Country Club, and you mixed it and made a cheese spread using that beer. And you brought us samples today that were unbelievably delicious.
Yeah.
And we're dropping that here today. So, I mean, by the time this airs, it'll actually be next week. So, no. Well, it might be gone. We'll have more, though. But, I mean, it's only this is only dropping 1 week after the release. Right. So, I mean, it'll be pretty exciting to see at the time of, like, when this is out, how it's doing. But, I mean, I think it's a phenomenal product. It just, the beer added just another level of depth.
Yep.
To the spread, and I mean, my wife's going to be telling me about moderation with that. I guarantee you that. That is the word of the day now.
Well, in the thought process on it was, we got some really cool stuff locally here in Blono. Let's go with Keg Grove. Let's go with BCC. Let's take this, you know, the flagship, I think last year was the first year, full year of...
For that beer,
For the 1896. And for those that don't understand where did that come from, that's when Bloomington Country Club was founded.
Correct.
And the neat process about it, not only are we trying to do... It's hard to do 100% local. But when you're talking about making a Monterey Jack, grinding that down, adding a little bit of salad dressing or mayonnaise, and then... BCC is also raising all the horseradish that we're using in that.
Okay, sweet.
Oh, okay.
Along with, of course, Keg Grove's 1896.
Yeah.
And then we add a little bit of garlic and some bacon.
Perfect. I mean bacon. No. I mean, you had me at the B, and then you said Aiken. I mean.
Once again, I'll do the chin referral. It's something that's neat, and it's a story behind that. And it's the more demand, the bigger that things become, it gets a little tricky because we want to be able to visit with those customers.
Right.
And it does get hard at times. But this is something that is truly local.
Yeah.
Something local for Bloomington and Normal both, you know, and it's a neat story behind it. I know that I'm going to do a little typing with my two thumbs.
I understand, and get
the Facebook post out there. But this is a first-time trial with this product, and I don't even want to call it a trial because that has a negative connotation.
No, I understand. So we understand at the table that, you know, the trials, that's business.
Yeah.
Everything's a trial.
Everything's R&D.
It is. Unless something takes off, then it's no longer a trial. And if it doesn't take off, well, it was good. It could have been great, but it's just not what caught. And that's okay.
Well, and our hopes are that it takes off so that you guys can do
it. It will.
All the co-packing can be done here.
right.
Because we all have a lot of room where we're at right now.
Yeah. Right.
But the fun part about it is visiting with that customer and saying, all right, what exactly is in this? And being able to say, you know, 90% of what's in that is right here.
Yeah.
Right here. Yeah. And that's a cool story to sell.
That's fantastic. I mean, I think small businesses especially, I mean, you know, we all have to try hard, and I actually kind of like the return of the small business. I mean, they are returning a lot more than go back 25 years ago.
Right.
And one of our favorite things is working with other small businesses, but you see that all over the place. You see everybody working together because it's more powerful together. It's more, like you said, it's more local. I mean, everything about it is just better, you know?
And it's one of those things, too. The more force you get behind something of the local variety, Ken isn't having to do all the work. Jeff's not having to do all the work.
Yeah, right.
Dave's not doing all the work over at the club. Right, you know, what we're able to do is move this product. It made me laugh this morning because I took some samples into the club before I came in to do the pod, and Chef Mark wasn't there.
Okay.
And neither was Carlos, but David was there, and Fernando and Paige, and everybody in the back of the house was there, and I literally barely got to the parking lot here, and Chef Mark's calling. He's like, I haven't tried it yet, but they called me. I'm like, well, try it and call me back.
Right. No, it's phenomenal, and one thing you even said when we were hanging out earlier was take a dollop of that and put it on a burger, and that is sticking in my mind right now.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's going to have to happen sometime soon.
Yeah.
Because, even Tyler's like, I see that now, and Tyler's head like, ooh.
Cheap day coming up.
Right? I'm like, ooh. Like, I'm kind of sad I have to come in for a meeting tomorrow. Otherwise, I'm like, Jen, we're going to need some ground beef.
Yeah.
An extremely cheap date.
Right.
You know, it's funny because you brought that up. One of the guys has already hit me on the text message here, and he said, man, can we take a little of that, spread that 1896 across on some of the Funk Farms beef?
Oh, yeah, you know, and 100%.
And you guys know who Funks are. We've teamed up with them, and it's been fun. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to tinkering with this stuff. It's one thing to make it. Now what do we do with it?
Yeah,
right.
For me, it turns into a Viking meal. I can do crackers or, you know, just...
I like the way you put that, a Viking meal. Yes, now I'm a Viking.